Let's bow our heads with me, please. Loving Father, as I bow before you this morning, and as I pour myself to you, I know, dear Lord, I am a sinner and full of shortcomings. But right this moment, I pour it all to you. I pray that you will help me to speak your word, that the souls that are hearing may listen and understand. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Good morning, church. This morning, it's a long time I haven't felt this way, but my heart seems to be kind of overwhelmed. I'm even afraid to present the message that the Lord has blessed me to prepare. Don't be afraid. Don't get up and walk out. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man without the wedding garment, and he said unto him, "Friend, how comest thou hither in not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servant, "Bind him hand and feet, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Lord, bless the reading of your word. There is a quotation in the testimonies that says, it's only going to be about one out of every 20 in the church. One out of every 20. I wonder many times, am I one in the 19, or am I the one that will be number 20? But whichever way I fall, I pray the Lord that I will be the one among the 20. And it is my sincere desire that every one of us sitting here will be one among the 20. Many are called, but few are chosen. I used to have a hard time to understand that scripture. And also I used to have a hard time to understand the quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy. But today, I am not talking about this particular church. I'm just talking about the church. And when I speak about the church, I mean the body of Christ, the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist church. When I see the church today, and seeing how the church yearns after the world, see how the church grown and come Together with the world, I'm asking, Lord, please help me to be an example, not for damnation, but to move on forward. The Lord don't subtract. The Lord don't divide. The Lord adds and he multiplies. This should be the mission of the church, to add and to multiply, not to divide, not to subtract. I used to use a statement very often out of this pulpit, from Haskell down and way before that. That one day my dreams is that there will not be room enough for people to sit in the church. There will be only standing room only. It is always the desire of my heart that the church will be filled with people, and it only will be standing room. And if you will want to be in church and to find a seat, you will be there on time. But too often, when I come to church, I'm afraid to make those statements anymore. I used to make another statement. This church belongs to us. Amen? It is God's people's church. It's our church. Pastors come and pastors go. Lots of people have found problems with that statement, but it is true. A pastor come and he spent a few years with us and he's gone. Another one come, he spent a few years with us and he's gone. The permanent pastor we had before this one, I saw he buy a home and he's settling himself down. Oh, I thought this man was going to be here. But he came and he left. But God's church and God's people always sit in these same pews. Right or wrong? We are always here in these same pews. Now, we have a pastor with us today. He is doing his utmost best. I hope you found in the line of the opening song a message for you, a message for me. If we will be able to be like Aaron, to hold up the shepherd's hand, or to hold up the prophet's hand, let you and I be the ones that hold up the pastor's hands, that we may be able to see the growth in this church. Maybe there is too much selfishness. Maybe there is too much pride. You heard the reading in your ears this morning, the scripture reading, Matthew chapter 22. And Matthew chapter 22 is one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible. This morning, if I ask you how you get here to church, the first thing you will say, well, I have been planning on it and I choose to be here this morning. Great. Because if you didn't choose to come, you would not be here. As I stepped in church this morning, there was a telephone call on the line. A young lady asked for the time that the service is gone. And then she figured out she wouldn't be able to make it. I pray she's here. She figured out she wouldn't be able to make it. But you know, all of you who have made it, that is in here this morning, you did not come on your own. You came here because of an invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks the parable in Matthew chapter 22. He invited his people. He invited to the great feast. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but one of the greatest weddings the world have ever experienced was the wedding of Diana and Charles. Invitation went out all through the world. Instructions was given to them how to dress. I believe the royal family wouldn't allow anybody to come in the presence of their son and their daughter-in-law dressed in any kind of way. So the instructions was given with the invitation how to dress to come to the wedding. And so Jesus Christ invited us to come to the wedding. And he also told us how to dress. And the important thing is, he knows that we couldn't purchase the fine linen for we to dress the way he would like us to. He provided himself. Amen? He provided himself. And so what a shame for one to come in the wedding choosing not to put on the wedding garment that he didn't pay a dime for, but he's coming to enjoy the wedding. He's coming to enjoy the feast. But he chose to come the way he wanted to. And that's not acceptable to God. And not only that, in the opening chapters, you know the scriptures have said, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jews, AD 27 to AD 31. Spent time 3.5 years with the disciples, spent time with the world, teaching. There were two groups of people, like even until today. Or maybe there were three groups. But let us talk about two groups. One group trying to kill him for telling the truth. And the other group trying their best to understand and to digest everything that he teaches. Which group are you? To listen to God's word or to try to kill him? Do you want to put Jesus Christ on the cross afresh? Every deed that you and I commit that is not in the will of the Father, we are putting him all over on the cross. Every will. How many baptized members are in here? Don't be ashamed. Put up your hands, please. Push it up. Push it up. How many baptized members are in here? Push it up. Push it up. Amen. God sees you. God sees these hands. When you decided that you was going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you died with him. What did I say? Church? You died with him. And then for you to make it public that you died with him, you come to church and you ask the minister to take you to the pool. You are walking in the watery grave of baptism, dying with Jesus. Am I clear? The minister hold your hands and he pronounced the blessing and he buried you in the watery grave of baptism. What did he do, you church? He buried you. And then he take his hands and he bring you back up.
He is raising you from what, church? And this recognizes and symbolizes the what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So everyone that put up their hands here this morning have celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of King Jesus. Amen? Don't be afraid now. I'm not afraid. The Lord asked us to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. Dying with Jesus, you know the song? And then take me to the waters, you know the song? And then when you come up, you have celebrated the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No wonder the Lord made the first appeal. Is this thing too loud? Can you all lower this down a little bit? I'm hearing myself so hard. Thank you. Are you still hearing me? Good, thank you. I apologize for that. No wonder Jesus Christ made the first appeal and they mocked him. They rejected that. They walk away. He did not give up. He still make an appeal. Nobody showed up. The reading says that they did not even turn over. They did not even turn around. And so the king pronounced a cursing on them. And when the king heard of it, he was wroth. Why? Because they killed the servants. They do all kind of stuff with them, refuse them. And when the king heard that, oh, he was bitter. He was bitter. He says, and when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his army and destroyed the murderers and burned their city. That is a prophetic thing that happened in 70 AD. And if we read in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord says, woe unto them. And he wished for them, and he did wish them that their flight would not be in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day. And he wished that there would be no mother that is giving their baby suck in those days. In my little feeble mind, I believe he did not want them to be in the winter because it would have been too cold out there, dying two times. You know, you're dying, you know you're dying, but you're getting another person killing you and you're dying. You know what I mean? So he did not want them to die a couple of times in the winter. And then on the Sabbath day, you know, he created the Sabbath and he called for solemnity and he called for respect for his Sabbath. That's the God I serve. And then I guess in all due respect to the mothers that give their babies suckling, they wouldn't want to be in the public and be running and their breasts hanging down, nursing their child. I believe the Lord had enough respect for the women at this time. I stand corrected. So God don't give us an order and then make it difficult for us to follow it. That is not the God that I serve. If you find it difficult to do what the Lord have asked you to do, it is because you are not prepared to do it. Amen? Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. When he say go, he says, I will be with you. When he say come, he said, I will wrap my arms around you. That's the God I serve. I am so excited, and yet at the same time, I'm so scared. And so the Lord came to look on the guests. It was the tradition in the Jewish days. It was tradition in the Jewish days that the woman had to wait for the man. I'll give you a story on that. It happened the total opposite. In the island of Antigua, that happened in 1966. Immigration was hot and sweaty, putting all aliens out of town. As a matter of fact, Brother Wilson was deported once. I was deported in the island of Antigua. They said I overstay. In God's world, you know. I accepted that. A young man decided to marry a woman for he to accept the citizenship of Antigua. The wedding came a Saturday afternoon. Those of you who do not know about too much about the Caribbean, there was a boat which was the federal boats. When the Caribbean islands united together, they gave them two boats, federal boat. They were traveling from Jamaica back to Trinidad, up and down. One would cross each other. So one of the boats was in the harbor in Antigua, going down, going west. This young man came from west, and the woman is in the church waiting for him. Oh, it was such a big wedding. Because the lady wanted to marry her. Her dad was marrying her. All the big feast and everything. And while she sits in church waiting, the guy took a taxi and everything that he possessed. And he head down to the harbor and get himself on the boat going back to where he came from. And the bride was in the church waiting for the wedding. It is a true story, church. And after it happened, I believe immigration became worse. It happens in this world. It happens around us. So no wonder the Lord is already telling us, I am giving you that invitation. You don't have to spend a dime for it. I am providing you with the garment of righteousness for you to come and sit in my wedding. And by the way, church, this invitation and this wedding is not just for the Lakeland Church to sit in here and to wait for Pastor Ron to come and pronounce you are married. No, sir. It is not for the Washington Church where the president of the general conference president to come and pronounce it on you. That is not the wedding. The wedding I am talking about and the wedding that the Bible is talking about is the wedding that is going to take place in heaven. Are you there with me, church? You're sleeping. The wedding that I am talking about is the wedding that is going to take place where? In heaven. And so you cannot expect to go to heaven any way you want. That's the reason the Lord came and spent the 3.5 years here on earth teaching his disciples to disciple the world for his gospel to move on forward to ask everybody that will be willing to understand how to dress to come to the wedding. Because the wedding is going to be taking place in heaven. I will wrap my robe of righteousness around you. And the Lord cannot wait for he to put this robe of righteousness around you. But you have to take all the filth that is out of our lives. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass through God's law till all be fulfilled. That is part of the robe of righteousness. All his laws, all his precepts. Today, faithful preachers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Faithful preachers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of them having a hard time to preach the straight gospel to God's people. And I am afraid that because of their scaredness, they will lose God's kingdom. Now, Brother Wilson don't have to talk to you, don't have to preach here anymore. But you will always remember the last thing he said that caused them not to let him speak. Okay? We want to do our own thing. And then we want God to accept us. Don't you think that is carrying a double belt? You're not no boxing champion to hold all different titles of belt. The Lord says don't do, he means don't do. The Lord says do, he means do. I told you all I'm not going to. We find faults with everything that goes around us. And when we find a fault, we walk away. We are looking for another church because this church don't do this. We are looking for another church because the pastor cannot preach. We're looking for another church because this elder thinks he knows it all. All kind of debris. And because of that, we're looking for another church. But you could go to Europe, Germany, wherever you go, and you go to a Seventh-day Adventist church, my brother. What you're running away from in Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist church, you're going to be encountered with it.
Amen.
Why? Because it is God's church and it is universal. So don't leave here and go and join Tampa Church just because what is happening in here is you don't like it. If you think it is wrong, I urge you to do what is right in the sight of those who are doing what is wrong and be an example. Don't run away from the mess. Stay in it and change your life. A sermon lived is 100% than a sermon preach. Don't listen to Wilson, all the yabbity he's doing there right now. If Wilson don't live the life that God requires for him, Wilson is going to hell further than hell. I'm not preaching for you, I'm preaching for myself. The Lord asks us not to decorate ourselves. It becomes the biggest problem. The pastor preached an evangelistic series in here. And he teaches everybody what the Bible says. Tithes and offering, jewelry, this, that, and the other. But we don't care. It is my church. Or it is my thing and I want to do my own thing. Lord, church, please, don't do your own thing. Don't do your own thing, church. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't put him on the cross the second time. Just do what he asks you to do. If you want to represent Jesus Christ, take up the cross and follow him. God decide and plan for his people to move forward. For we to move forward. As we move forward, he's going to lift us up. As you move forward, the Lord is going to lift you up because they bury him, they put him in the grave, but he came up and gave you and I the assurance of salvation. And he wants you and I to move on up. Move on up, church. What is wrong with a piece of unnecessarily jewelry? What is decorated? What? That don't mean nothing. Are you going to lose your salvation because I don't care, it's my stuff, I paid for it? Yes, I agree with that. I met a woman and I married to her. That woman was decorated with jewelry all over herself. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me. She accepted. I don't have the time to give you the story, all the story. But she accepted the Lord. And when she accepted the Lord, she decided to put down everything that is unbecoming of God. Everything. She's not the best woman in the world. But I tell you what. There are times I have tried to walk away from the church. But my pillar brings me back. What are you going to do? Are you going to wear the wedding garment? Or are you going to say, I am too busy. I cannot come. All these invitations that the Lord was given, the first invitation, second invitation, all of that went to the Jews. That was the invitation for the Jews. And the Jews did not accept it. They killed him. The Jews did not accept him. They tried all manner of evil against his teachings. The Jews did not like him. Even his followers they killed. And in killing his followers, they killed Stephen. And the Lord used the greatest miracle in salvation. The same man that was holding the garments for Stephen, holding Stephen's robe, for they to stone him to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The anxious guy, the soldier, that big educated soldier, he is standing right there commanding to kill him, to stone him. And he's holding his robe. And the Lord performed the greatest miracle, turned evil into good. And this man gave us 15 books of the New Testament. Can God change your burning desire for your little, you know? Can God change that? Church, can God change that? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. It is in his word. When the pastor taught that class, and when we preach it, and as long as it is the dust saith the Lord, Brother Wilson, don't put water in his mouth to shake it, because he might not have another chance to drink another glob of water. Speak it straight up. And to the truth. And if you want to understand the parable in Genesis, in Matthew chapter 22, if you do not have a copy of this book, some of us call it the little brown books. Well, look for the little brown book entitled Christ's Object Lesson. And let me briefly give you a story in Christ's Object Lesson. The church where I was raised in the Shepherd Rhodes movement from a little boy 7 years old up to the time I left my parents' home. Three months after I got the last beating from my mother, I left my mother's home, 19 years old, from 7 to 19. And all I was involved was the Shepherd Rhodes teaching. And it was the Shepherd Rhodes teaching. And do you know this I am preaching to you today? That the Shepherd Rhodes claimed it to be them. You know, the robe of righteousness. They has the robe of righteousness. And the church is doomed to everlasting condemnation. I learned that. And so when I came back to the church after my wildness, I came back to the church. And I was determined to raise the Shepherd Rhodes movement again. And myself, another brother, and my wife, and a few of us, oh, we studied that Shepherd Rhodes move, and we studied it, and we studied it, and we studied it. Oh, man, fire and brimstone ready to pour out of our mouths on the church. But it was when it happened, I gave a Shepherd Rhodes minister lodging in my house. And he answered me a few questions in Isaiah 11. Bear with me. Ask him the question. What is going to happen if Isaiah 11? Because the Shepherd Rhodes movement teaches that we have to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the waste places of Jerusalem before we could go to heaven for a period of 7 years or whatever time it is. But I read in the Spirit of Prophecy early writings that I saw. And when she said that I saw, it means that the Lord showed her. And I saw that new, that old Jerusalem will never be rebuilt. She said she saw it. And I said, how come this is saying it will never be rebuilt? And we are going there for 7 years to rebuild it. Confusion. And so I begin to study. For months, 9 o'clock to 2-3 in the morning. 9 o'clock to 3 in the morning. Very early coming back. I studied this. I studied it and I studied it. I read the Bible. I read the Spirit of Prophecy. And I read the Shepherd Lord's Message. I keep reading it. I keep reading it. But it wasn't all this study. The Lord was just letting me do that. And then as soon as I get a chance to pick up the book, earlier, Christ's Object Lesson. All the teachings and all the misunderstanding and all the confusion just begin to fly away. I'll fly away. And all these confusions and all of this, the drama and all of this took its way out. And praise the Lord. So I urge you, that little book, Christ's Object Lesson, pick it up. Pick it up, church. Pick it up. If you cannot afford to buy one, in the next couple of weeks, I will have a box of them here, paper binding, and we will spread it out in the church. The little book, Christ's Object Lesson, have delivered your servant this morning and is able, by God's grace, to stand here with you and to encourage you to move on forward. Move on forward. Just stay with me for the last couple of minutes. And I want you to do something. You could open your eyes or close it, whichever way you want to do it. But maybe if you close your eyes. And I want you to look forward and upward and consider you are going, your eyes are penetrating through this ceiling. And it is going right through the sun and looking at the sun. Just keep your eyes closed, brother. You're looking through. And for some reason or the other, you see, it is high daylight, but you see a little dark cloud right in the middle of the sun. Can you imagine that? Look at it, Lord. Look at it. That is our hope and our promise. That one day we will look up and see that little dark cloud. And as it draw closer and closer and closer, we will see the saints from heaven. It was like Elijah asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant that he may see all those who are there to shelter him. We will see the end. Are your eyes closed? And are you visualizing the Lord is coming to us? And this time, church, he's coming to us not to condemn us, not to destroy us, but he's coming to take us home. Do you want to go home with God? Do you want to go home with God, church? Amen. Look up. And then when he come back down, Andy, the Spirit of Prophecy says that if any one of his saints will not be able to go through the time of trouble, the Lord is going to put him to sleep. That's the only comfort I can give you right now on behalf of your brothers. The Lord is only putting them to sleep. Weep not. If they're going down faithful, Andy, we are looking forward for one day. That little cloud will come down in glory and to usher us home. When the Lord, when the trumpet shall sound, the archangel, and who is the archangel? Who is the archangel, church? It's Jesus Christ. Shall blow the trumpet. And when he call all of us home, those who are dead in him, come up. And those of us who are alive and remain. Oh, we are looking forward for that king. Probation still lingers, church. It means that the opportunity is still yours and it's still mine. Probation still lingers, church. The opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is this morning and is right now. If you have not decided fully to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please do it now. just as you are, without one plea. But that his blood was shed for you. Just come just as you are. Don't be afraid of your neighbor. Don't be ashamed. He said, if you are ashamed to confess me before man, I will be ashamed to confess you before my Father. While probation lingers, while the Lord is still in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, while he is pleading for you and for me, while he is purchasing from his Father the robe of righteousness, which is the wedding garment, I urge you to live with him. Ask him to take full control over your lives. Because the same size that fits you, the same size will fit me too. There's no tailor-made. All you have to do, his hands is long enough to wrap you up. Heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough. As I close, I want you to know that heaven is so high, you cannot get over it. Heaven is too wide, you cannot go around it. Heaven is too low, you can't go under it. You know where I'm going? You got to come in through the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As I take my seat, church, I pray the Lord that he will prepare you as he is preparing me. For when he shall come, we all shall see him as he is. May God bless you.